Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. By the gracious will of the Lord, I am pleased to look to the Word of God with you once again this Lord's Day morning as we worship our great God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all because His Son, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, has come to us in a great, victorious way. Jesus Christ has been conceived and born of the Virgin Mary, and we rejoice at Christmas to remember that our God and Savior has come, and He has come in a great victory in that He saves everyone that the Father has given Him to save. Praise the Lord. We rejoice in Christ's coming, the birth of the man Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the great victory of Christ's coming as He, the Prince of Peace, brings peace to His people and in His great and glorious measure, peace to the nations of this troubled and warring world. And so we exalt Christ in His great victory today. Jesus, born of Mary, is the ruler, the conqueror of all. God in human nature, He prevails over all things and brings peace to men. Praise the Lord. All glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, I'm a missionary with Mission East Africa, Uganda, and you can learn more about our ministry at missionafricajk.blogspot.ug. That's missionafricajk.blogspot.ug, and you can reach us at 0782-652-143. We would be glad to talk with you, to communicate with you as we are able to. Praise God. My friends, turn with me in your Bibles this day as we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ with great joy to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Last Lord's Day, we began a new section of verses in our exposition of this great and glorious chapter. We began in verse 10. Let me now read for you verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Praise God. Dear friends, let us pray. Lord Jesus, our great and glorious God, thank You for the living Word that we have just received and Your very Word to us, Your brothers, Your children, Your servants, the people of God, the elect of God, that we are to be strong in You, Lord, in Your mighty and gracious power, and that we are to overcome in Your peace, which surpasses all understanding, and that in the power of Your might, in the exceeding great strength, the mighty power that You have, we are to overcome the world and overcome all evil. And we rejoice greatly today, O God, our King, that You have come in mighty victory as You have been born of the Virgin Mary. You became one of us to come and deliver us through Your conquest of evil and in Your victory over sin and death. We give You praise, Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, that You have come to us. We give You praise, Father, that in Your will He has come, that You have sent Him to us, so that we have victory in Christ and we will not die. And Holy Ghost, we give You praise that You have been sent by the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us to comfort us and to teach us and to strengthen us and to lead us moment by moment in our lives in the great victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we too conquer sin and so live with You forever. We give You praise, Lord, that You have come, Emmanuel, the conqueror of all, and we worship You, great and mighty God, God with us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, we're continuing in our exposition of Ephesians 6, and it so happens in God's plan and timing that these verses deal with the great victory of Christ, and we see His great victory, which we also enjoy in Christ, in His coming to save us, in the incarnation. And so, truly, Jesus has the victory in all things, and truly, Jesus has the victory in His coming to us as Emmanuel, God with us. Praise God. As a great hymn says, O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Amen and amen. Praise God. And so He has come in glorious power and in glorious victory, in glorious wisdom, in glorious success in achieving His purposes to save the chosen people of God, those the Father gave Him to save. He has saved and does save to the uttermost. Praise the Lord. And so as we appreciate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of Christ, we are also encouraged to see in other parts of Scripture that Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, is also glorified in His great victory as He is seen to be the Creator, as He is worshipped, and as He has victory, He is the Lord of glory in all things. And we turn now to Psalm 24. And so, as you are able to, turn with me, please, to Psalm 24. And we're going to see here in Psalm 24 the glorious truth that Jesus Christ is the Creator God, that Jesus Christ is worshipped by His people, and that Jesus Christ is also the Lord of glory who has all victory in every battle in which He engages. And let me mention, as we turn to Psalm 24, that the glorious truth of His victory is seen in that Jesus Christ brings peace to men. It says in Psalm 46 and verse 7 through verse 11, The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth, and breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Praise God. And so the Lord of glory, as He is called in Psalm 24, the God of Jacob, who makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He comes with power. He comes to govern. He comes to judge. He comes to rebuke the nations. He comes to live a sinless life for His people. He comes to so conquer sin, misery, death, and hell. He comes so to make peace, praise God, to bring sinners to be at peace with His God and Father. And He comes to save a people and bring them into the peace of God, into the kingdom of God, the rule of the King of Peace. Praise God. In Psalm 24, we see in verse 1, that Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, David says, is the God that has created all things. Verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Praise the Lord. This great king has created all things. The earth is his. Everything that occurs on the earth is his. All that occurs in creation is his. He has created everything. Praise God. He has separated the land from the waters and established the land on the waters. And this great God has brought victory so that sinners, those at enmity at God, are overcome by his love and precious saving grace and come to live in holiness with him and before him. Sinners become saints. Praise God. The lion-like murderous man becomes a lamb who eagerly, gladly comes in the worship of God. So that verse 3 says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Praise God. And so the Lord of glory has come, and he has brought victory, and he has changed sinners. He has saved them, given them new hearts, so that they are able to stand in the holy presence of God and to worship him. The hands have been cleansed, that is, they have stopped sinning with their hands. Their heart has been purified by faith, that is, they worship and love him from this pure heart, truly believing in the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. They have turned from idolatry. They have ceased lying. These are the blessed people who receive grace and blessing from God and are counted righteous by the God of our salvation. This is the new Israel. This is Jacob, the generation of those who are changed, transformed by the marvelous grace, made new creations, who seek him, who seek God and seek his favor. Praise the Lord. Glory and praise to God forever and ever and ever. Amen. And Psalm 24 also speaks of the glory of the incarnated Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Praise God. And we see here that the Spirit reveals to us that the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, has entered into the heavenly presence of God. He has come into the Holy of Holies, into the temple, if you will. And he is admitted into God's temple. The man, Jesus Christ, comes and the very heads of the gates are lifted up to receive him. The everlasting doors of the everlasting presence, the eternal temple of God, if you will. The everlasting doors are lifted up for the man, Jesus Christ, and he, here called the King of glory, comes in. Praise God. And so Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of his people, has entered into the heavenly presence with his blood, to purify and save the people of God. And so we rejoice that he has come to us this day as we remember his lowly entrance into the world, born of the poor woman Mary, born amidst the poverty of Mary's world, born because there was no room for him in an inn, in a home, born and placed in a manger. And so it is that Jesus has come, and we rejoice. Praise God, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory that Christ Jesus has come to us. He is identified here as the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, who is able to come into God's presence. And he comes because he has no sin, and he has achieved the will of the Father. The mediator comes to bring his people to God, to enable his people to follow him into the heavenly presence, into the very temple. And the verses communicate to us the glorious idea that just as it was in the Old Testament times, that the people of God would come into the holy presence, into the temple of God, through gates, through doors that must be lifted up. They must come into the temple, praise God. So it is that the eternal Son of God has come into God's temple. The man has come, and he comes. He has made intercession for his people. He brings them, he enables them to come. They gain admission into the presence of the temple only through and in him, and they come to worship the Lord of glory, who brings them, and they come to worship the Father. The question is asked here, who is the King of Glory? And the answer is given, he is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Praise God. We won't turn there now, but if we turn to Revelation 19 and verses 11 through 16, we would see that the Holy Spirit brings before us there the picture of the Lord of Glory. And the picture seen there is that he is the Lord of Sabaoth, that is, he is the Lord of the armies of heaven, and he comes in absolute triumph, absolute power. He brings with him the saints of God, and he comes in a last great battle with evil, in which he vanquishes and destroys all evil, and he puts it away in the lake of fire. And he comes, and he is mounted upon a white horse, the war horse of the Bible times, was a great and powerful weapon. And so he comes, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is mounted upon a war horse in the greatest possible powerful way in battle. He comes to fight, and he comes to overcome his enemies, and he does overcome his enemies. He comes and his eyes are a flame of fire, the text tells us. And he comes and he has a sharp sword in his mouth, a double-edged sword, and it is called the Word of God. He is called the Word of God. And so he comes and he conquers through truth, and before his vision, all things are laid bare. Nothing can stand. Nothing can be hidden before the fiery gaze of the Lord of Sabaoth. And he comes with clothes dipped in blood. His victory is consummate. His victory is absolute. His enemies fall beneath him. And we ask the question, why are his clothes dipped in blood? And whose blood is this? And do we remember that Isaiah tells us that he comes and he, if you will, tramples grapes in the grape. He comes and he tramples, if you will, grapes in the great wine press of God, and he comes with such powerful, strong anger that he completely tramples his foes, and their blood flies up and is sprinkled upon his clothes so that he is blood covered. Perhaps it is that the Lord of Sabaoth comes with his own bloodshed. This is the victory of his people. He gave his blood for our sins, and he comes in the truth that his blood conquers sin. Praise God. And so he comes and he wars and he conquers. Praise God. We also see the great victory of the incarnated Son of God in John 19 and verses 17 through 30 at Calvary's bloody cross. Praise God. Once again, his consummate victory. It is here that he crushes the serpent's head most fully. Praise God. And he disarms principalities and powers. And so we look to Calvary's cross and we see there the precious Lamb of God who has been crucified for us. He has been crowned with thorns and his arms have been stretched out and his hands have been pierced. His legs have been pulled down and his feet have been pierced. He has been beaten and been spat upon. He has come into utmost suffering. And he says, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He comes in this state of judgment, bearing the awful wrath of God. And he feels as though he has been abandoned by God, forsaken. Because the New Testament text tells us he has become sin for us, has in a sense become our enmity with God, which God righteously and truly in his holiness judges and destroys. And so the blessed Lamb of God gives his blood, gives his life, pours out his life, made a fountain for us, for our cleansing, made the agent of the cleansing of sin and unrighteousness, opened up for us, crushed, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our transgressions. And he comes to death in victory, the sinless man who has come, and in such victory, that is, he never sinned, saves others who have sinned. And he meets the glorious and great and righteous requirement of God, the man, Jesus Christ, always obeyed his Father and never sinned. Praise God. And so God is pleased and satisfied with his sacrifice. The Father accepts this death, the death of his own Son. He is pleased to bruise him, Isaiah tells us. And he suffers this great trouble to save the people of God from our sins. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, we see the victory of the cross in another light. And it tells us there, as it does also in Colossians, that Jesus Christ disarmed principalities and powers. The devil's intent was that he kill the man Jesus Christ and remove him and so overcome him. But in his voluntary death for sin, the sinless man overcomes the devil and, if you will, turns the tables on him, exercises his great wisdom and power and ability in his holiness over him, and so crushes him. Satan's victory over men is that he causes men to sin, but Satan has no victory over the man Jesus Christ, who never sins and who always resisted the devil and his lies and temptations. Praise God. And so the sinless Lamb of God gives his life in bloodshed on the cross, and in so doing, disarms principalities and powers, praise God, so that we come to life, the chosen people of God, and we come to be practically holy. We come to live for him in practical holiness, and we come to worship him. And so he has the victory, my friends. Praise God. As we remember the coming of the Prince of Peace today, praise the Lord. And we want to remember, too, that he has come in this mighty power to govern all things, to rebuke the nations. Praise God. We remember that he says in Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, that is the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit working, speaking, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And so the Prince of Peace comes to govern and to establish a government, the kingdom of God, to govern in judgment and justice forever. That's simply what the text says. From that time, even forever. And Jesus will come in his great zeal, in his passionate love for God. He will achieve this great victory. Praise God. The Prince of Peace rules and reigns. Amen. We see too that the result of this great victory of the Lord Jesus Christ is that God will bring peace to the nations. Amen. Praise God. In Isaiah chapter 2, in verse 3 and verse 4, "Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Praise God. And so the victory of Jesus Christ, born of Mary, Emmanuel, is that he brings peace to the nations, and he changes people, he changes nations, so that the armaments of warfare are changed into the armaments of peace, into plowshares and pruning hooks, which are used in farming, producing food, in extending life, not in killing, the ending of life. Praise God. And we see here in Psalm 46, verses that reveal to us, that is in verses 7 through 11, the great power of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, to bring peace to men, to bring goodwill to men. Verse 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Praise God. And so the kingdom of the Prince of Peace is extended to the nations through the earth, and he makes war cease to the end of the earth. And we want to end this Christmas sermon today with a call to prayer for the peace of the nations. We're going to pray in just a moment together, my friends, but let me ask you at some point, perhaps at the very end of this sermon, soon after hearing these words, that you would take at least a moment and pray to God, seek God, and ask God to bring this glorious peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is so real. It is more real than we can possibly begin to imagine. This great work of God, the bringing of peace to warring peoples, is sure. The scripture declares it, as we have seen. But pray for peace. Pray believing that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is going to prevail, and that ultimately peace will come to the nations, to all nations in their measure. Finally, that all sin and evil, all war, will be stopped and be put away. Praise God. And so think of particular peoples or nations, perhaps friends that you know that are in conflict in some measure, and pray for the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ for them. Let us pray now. Father in heaven, we rejoice in the great glorious truth that you've given to us, the truth that you have come so humbly, born of the Virgin, in this gentle way, conqueror of all, you have come and you have brought victory to us. You have saved us. You've given your very blood for us in due time. And you have entered the temple of God for us. You have been resurrected from the dead. You have been seated at the right hand of the Father for us, and that you intercede for us. And so, Prince of Peace, achieve your purposes of bringing peace to the nations. And we pray for peace in Uganda today. And I pray that you will bring peace to families in conflict, to individuals in confusion and conflict, the darkness of unbelief, that you will bring salvation to many this Christmas season in this country of Uganda, and that you will bless your people saved by grace who believe in you, saved by the blood, to worship you in a depth of peace this day, this Christmas season. Come and conquer, mighty God, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. Come and have your way with us, Lord, and lead us in your peace. We pray too for troubled Congo and for Sudan. We pray for troubled Somalia. God, we pray for the nations of the world, Yemen and Syria and Afghanistan. We pray for peace for these nations, that Jesus will come and rule and reign. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring the peace of Christ to the nations. And we worship you. Thank you for coming to save us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, may God bless you. A blessed Christmas to you. And so until we meet next Lord's Day morning, may the Prince of Peace give you his deep and abiding peace.